The pandemic has had a profound impact on our lives in ways we are just starting to recognize, personally and professionally. Consider two different but complementary signals. In August 2020, 70% of advisors surveyed by Broadridge agreed that COVID-19 will have lasting long-term impacts, most notably in where and how they engage with asset managers. Fast forward to second quarter of 2021, in a survey we did with asset manager CMOs, 95% agree that marketing's role has increased because of COVID-19. Why? Here's a clue. 65% of these CMOs agreed with the statement that advisors will increasingly be engaging with asset managers digitally. So what's the implication for the asset management community, especially marketers? Welcome to The Point. I'm your host, Matt Schiffman, a principal with Distribution Insight. Today, we are chatting with April Rudin. April founded the Rudin Group in 2008, a global wealth marketing firm that specializes in creating marketing solutions for all areas of the financial services community, from wealth advisors to asset managers. She's operating at the intersection of fintech, affluence, and next gen, making her the perfect person to weigh in on the future of marketing. April, thank you for joining us on The Point today.
Matt, it's great to be here, and we've known each other a long time, so I'm looking forward to having a conversation today about our favorite topic, asset management and wealth management marketing.
April, let me ask you this. I know that in your world, you are a go-to person for CMOs. In our latest CMO survey, 65% of the survey's respondents strongly agreed that asset management marketers today require a different set of skills compared to 5 or 10 years ago. And the same percentage agreed that advisors will increasingly be engaging with asset managers digitally. What's your perspective?
To me, it's obvious that not only asset management marketers, I mean, that's what we're here to talk about today, but everyone really in marketing requires a new and different skill set than they did 5 or 10 years ago, or even 2 years ago at this point. I mean, the pandemic has certainly increased and accelerated and amplified the move to digital for wealth management, asset management, and just about every other sector. So I think it's no surprise, particularly in asset management, which has been doing business largely the same way for many years, that things really need to change or risk being eliminated.
What kind of skill sets does the marketing department of a distribution organization need to look like a couple of years from now? If you were building one, what would you be looking for?
So I think I would be looking for the digital and technology skills that some other industries have used successfully for, like, quote unquote, distribution techniques. So, you know, today it's all about supply chain and distribution. So I think there's lots of lessons that can be learned from outside of asset management that can be incorporated into asset management, and really closer connections between asset managers or product creators and closer connections with financial advisors, so that there is more of a dialogue and less of sort of a one-way or a monologue communication where here are our products and go find, you know, the investors for them. And so I'd like to see more of a B2B2B2C approach, and that will be all done digitally, and that will be all hyper-personalized. So I would say the skill set required for marketing departments will largely change from people who have lots of, let's say, asset management marketing experience to probably a mix of different industry experiences that can really become more cohesive and bring some new ideas to asset management marketing.
Yeah. You're referencing, I'm going to put words in your mouth, but you're really talking about client centricity, right?
Yes.
The marketing landscape has undergone a massive digital transformation over the last 10 years. What's been your clients' experience in adapting to the change?
So that's a great question, Matt, because, you know, we've talked a little bit about the digital transformation, and that requires a certain skill set. But I think what people don't really focus in on is the culture change and cultural change that needs to happen within these organizations, because it's that mindset and it's how they view their jobs and how they view success that really needs to change. In my clients' experience, the ones who are more successful have developed a new mindset in thinking about how they will deliver products and communicate rather than just thinking about here are more products and how can we increase the distribution. They're thinking more deliberately, more strategically, and smartly about how to create more relationships, more client centricity. So taking that whole product centricity mindset and throwing it out and really viewing things from the point of view of their own clients, the wealth management world, and then beyond that, the investors.
We've been hearing for years that content is king. Is that still the case? And how do you assign value to content?
It's a great question. I mean, I'm going to answer the last part first, which is assigning value. People come to me all the time and they want to know the ROI on marketing, Matt, right? Like we've heard that for years. What's sure. The ROI on marketing? And really confusing, I'll say, marketing and sales. Sometimes I like to talk about marketing, you know, because I'm from Detroit and Michigan, in curling terms. I think marketing is like the curler. They're sweeping the ice to pave the way for sales, right? So the return on investment in marketing is really more about building brand, building visibility, and lead gen that can lead to sales. So I encourage people to think about marketing as really an expense item rather than a revenue generator, because I think that helps create in people's minds a better value of what marketing can really do. And it aligns more with people's thinking. And then the return on investment. I did write a piece once, I don't know if you saw it, it's called ROI, Return on Inertia. I can tell you for sure that doing nothing, right, will have a zero return. So right. Encouraging people to beef up their marketing budgets, and particularly with content. So tying back to your question, content is really a broad category that we've seen grow over time in marketing, particularly in the pandemic. So again, clients ask me all the time, what kind of content should we develop, as if there's a silver bullet? And you and I both know if there was a silver bullet, we'd all be doing it. So I encourage people to think about content and content strategy sort of like a vegetable soup, where it's test and learn. You put in a bunch of vegetables, you taste it, you add maybe some salt, you add some other vegetables. Next time you make it, you subtract some. And that's what digital allows us to do, is test and learn on content to figure out what is it that really resonates and what resonates with which audiences. I don't know if you've heard of the rule of sevens in marketing, where you need to see a brand seven times before it resonates. And that's a lot. So there's not a silver bullet on that. That means that for many firms, and all firms really, their content strategy needs to be always on and omni-channel. Sorry to use that term, but it needs to be everywhere. Social media is important, but let's face it, everyone's not on social media all the time. So that's just one channel. Email marketing, still an important channel. Events, podcasts, right? You need to be in front of people so that they can consume content the way that they want to. Sure. And at the time they want to do it. So you see with network TV, we don't have scheduled time for television anywhere. We're an on-demand society. And so as asset management firms think about their content strategy, it needs to be an on-demand, always-on content strategy and omni-channel so that people can find them in the ways that they want to find them, and consume it when they want to consume it.
What new challenges and obstacles do advisors face in building connections with clients and prospects from your experience?
That's a big question. So number one, the average age of a financial advisor now in the US is over age 60. And while we've seen the great resignation, that hasn't really happened in the financial advice world. And thankfully, a lot of advisors want to hold on to their books of business and, if not grow it, at least maintain their book of business. So building the connection and maintaining connections for advisors using digital is also really important, just simply due to the pandemic, which has really increased that. It's always been there, but it's especially important today where people are avoiding face-to-face meetings, but have more digital connections. And I think all of the wealth management firms and banks really get credit for really turning on a dime and implementing really great programs to facilitate those connections between advisors and their clients. But also just building new connections. I mean, there's not an advisor in this world. There's not a business in this world that doesn't need and want new clients. And so ways to create a pipeline and just understanding the sales funnel are also really important. And I think that many advisors don't have the formal training to think about that. And many firms don't really provide that. So thinking about how to create multi-generational teams of advisors so that they can connect with young investors, thinking about where young investors are and how to reach them, understanding the difference between, say, trading and investing. That's, you know, the Robin Hood phenomenon. Those may not be the best clients for financial advisors at this point. So there's a lot going on for financial advisors, and that's where I think the opportunity really lies for asset managers and heads of distribution to really come in and help advisors create those connections and those more personal connections with their clients. So that's a definite gap and a white space for asset management marketers to focus in on.
April, you know, you've got a 360-degree view of the industry. I'm curious, from your perspective, has the pandemic changed the nature and the dynamic of interaction and engagement? And what's the likely implication for the future?
It's a great question, Matt. And I think it's really been a positive. You know, there are a few, very few, but a few silver linings that we can take from the pandemic, acknowledging all of the tragedies and so on that have happened. I think for wealth management, it's largely been a boom where, particularly for high net worth and other families who have spent some more and more quality time together, it's given them the opportunity to become closer as a family and think about what their legacy might be or what their financial goals might be and how those can be more closely aligned. I think it's also given advisors an opportunity to have more and deeper conversations with their clients as their time is freed up without commuting and without time being spent going from client meeting to client meeting. I think also many advisors have reported to me that it's gotten them closer to clients, just simply even the at-home environment. Seeing your advisor in their home and seeing your clients in their home rather than across the mahogany table, right, and the leather chairs has given people an opportunity really to get closer and build more trusted and valued relationships and be a little bit less formal, but more of a partnership. And just hearkening back to the question that you asked me when we first started, I think that's where financial advisors really are offering more value and becoming more of an anchor person to their clients. So less of that hierarchy where it's, you know, financial advisor looking down and advising their clients on finance and investment ideas. It's more of a holistic advisor on a greater financial plan. So largely, I think it's been good for wealth management.
You know, interestingly, in our latest advisor survey, which we're about to publish, a significant percentage of advisors told us that they believe going forward, meetings with their clients are likely to be a hybrid, sometimes in person, but sometimes virtual. What's your thoughts around that?
I think it's great. I mean, I'm all about no one size fits all marketing. So you have to meet clients where they are. You know, Matt, look, when we first started, there was, you know, one pitch deck, there was a folder with, you know, one pagers in it, and everybody got the same sort of marketing. And the beauty of digital and the beauty of switching from product marketing to client centric is you can give the people what they want, and advisors should ask. Mm-hmm. Some people want to meet in person. Some people want to meet in person sometimes. Some people want to meet in person all the time. And alternatively, some people want to meet virtually all the time. So it gives advisors and clients the flexibility of putting together not only communication strategies, but investment strategies that really suit them rather than just relying on model portfolios or thinking that one size fits all because a client is of a certain demographic or age group or whatever. It allows them to think about them more behaviorally rather than just categorizing them into some slot that really doesn't make sense.
April, let me ask you this. You know, in your work with financial advisors, we'd be curious, what do you think asset managers can do to bring more value to the relationship?
So I think asset managers can really become key players in going to that white space I mentioned before. So all financial advisors want deeper, closer relationships with their existing clients, and all financial advisors want new clients. And so asset management marketers can play a role in that by creating what I call like advisor toolkits, right? And helping advisors to do that with turnkey programs for them. I mean, financial advisors wear so many different hats today, from running their own businesses to human resources to, you know, chief technology officers to operations to chief investment officers and asset management firms.
Yeah. So, April, let's get to the point. What is at stake if advisors and wealth managers don't get this right? This hyper-personalization, this content, this digital world we live in, what's at stake here?
Well, not to be dramatic, I mean, I've read so many articles about it, but it's extinction. I mean, the point of distribution can be eliminated or, you know, greatly pared down because there'll be other distribution techniques and digital and other firms who are better at distribution will come in and disrupt it. So the elimination of distribution function, I would say. And then in terms of content, you have people, you know, Google is the king now, right? So if people want information on any topic, Matt, they're not limited to going to their financial advisor or going to the asset management firm, looking at that brochure, right? That folder that we used to pass out. They have the world at their fingertips just through Google, and finding different content and comparing that content is something that investors and investors do now and will do. And more comparison shopping and comparing what different people say. I know that a lot of people are poo-pooing social media platforms like TikTok as being silly or ridiculous or limited to millennials. But if you look at the demographics, it's not. And it's just a quick and easy way of getting some information and education on different investment products or different investment types or just even basic financial literacy. So I think taking a look at all of the distribution platforms and all of the channels and thinking about how that can be put together into a great strategy to reach investors where they are would be the best approach that people can take with content, and then shortening it up, making sure that everything is in snackable chunks so that you don't have to read a 25-page PDF. You remember those days, Matt?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. You don't have to download a PDF on your phone because that doesn't work anymore. And then thinking about content really in, it's not, and this is a conversation I had with someone not that long ago. I really enjoyed it. It used to be also that the more sophisticated the language that people used, the smarter they felt about a white paper or content they created. But I think today's investor appreciates something that's written in plain English that they can understand, and even taking it a step further using data visualization or infographics or different ways of telling a story without having to read and understand topics and terms.
Well, we would absolutely agree with you. I mean, all the research that we have done on investors to advisors continues to suggest and point in the way that the world that we live in is an increasingly more complex environment, and using all of the means available to us to get the right content to the right people at the right time is absolutely fundamental. So thank you for your comments, April.
Well, thanks for having me, Matt. I mean, obviously, I'm passionate about this subject, so I love talking about it and appreciate the opportunity to be on The Point.
April, thank you for your time and your comments today. We very much appreciate it. And thank you for listening. Please join us next time as we continue to explore where technology, data, and analytics intersect to impact asset management distribution. Until then.